Hey, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin in with Allison Stewart and some of our loyal teammates here at the BPP. Up next, we're going to tell you about a little segment. This is when you read an article, you love it, you forward it to all your friends. We pay attention and we put it all together in a little segment we call The Most. Dan.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
Got a most email here from Yahoo News. They have raised an 800-year-old sunken ship out off the bottom of the ocean floor in China.
They? Yahoo News has? Who has?
No, sorry. China has.
China. Right.
They're like the big they.
They. Right. Well, in China they are.
Good point.
The ship was actually discovered in 1987. They've been studying it since then. It was a merchant ship that is filled with all this porcelain and rare artifacts, and they had to build a special crane, a steel basket, to basically scoop this thing off the floor of the ocean without destroying the ship.
It's a big basket.
It's the size of a basketball court.
Wow. A basket the size of a basketball court.
Right. A giant metal basket the size of a basketball court to lift a ship out of the sea without having to fall apart on them. It's 800 years old. It dates to the early Southern Song Dynasty, 1127 to 1279.
That's very cool. Wow. China. Can't underestimate them.
They're going to deposit the thing at the boat in a huge glass pool at a museum where the water temperature, pressure, and other environmental conditions are the same as where it would lie on the seabed. So you will be able to go see it.
Very cool. Sharon.
Hey, good morning.
Sharon, our executive producer, filling in as editor extraordinaire from the control room.
If only I can channel Trish McKinney.
You can do it.
I will do no wrong.
Say it and it will be so.
I have the number two most emailed on the Boston Globe's website, which is Israeli scientists inscribe tiny Bible. Nanotechnology experts at the Technion Institute in Haifa have apparently etched the entire Hebrew text of the Old Testament, which is about 300,000 words, on a teeny tiny surface. How tiny was it? Well, it was less than 0.01 square inch, which is less than half the size of a grain of sugar.
But what? Okay. Maybe tell us why in the world someone would do this?
Why, I can't get you. The kind of glasses you'd need to read the thing, I can't help you. But the scientists wanted to demonstrate a technique for storing vast amounts of data.
There's something called the internet and the computer and all these other kind of things.
I used my internet for 5.5 minutes and found that the previous record holder was a professor at MIT who inscribed the New Testament in 24-karat gold on silicon on a tablet that was 5 millimeters square, which is about 0.2 inches. How are you going to haul that down to church? And the whole tiny creation contest story reminded me of a great piece our video producer Wynn Rosenfeld posted about the art of Willard Wiegand, who makes tiny little sculptures out of rice.
Nice tie-in.
Including one of Santa and all 8 reindeer, and you can look for that on our blog later today.
Yes, you can.
Very nice.
Who's next? MJ? Oh, no, Allison.
I'm next because I have Panda Watch. One of my favorite things ever to do. And apparently people like to watch pandas because this is the second most viewed video at MSNBC.com. It's of a brand new panda at the San Diego Zoo. Only 4 zoos in the United States have pandas: San Diego, Memphis, Atlanta, and the National Zoo in D.C. San Diego has the most. 4. The new addition is Junjun. And Junjun is mighty cute and has a pretty good lifestyle, as this zookeeper describes how she spends her day.
She seemed to be oblivious to the fact that everybody there was there to see her. She did her normal walk around the exhibit, try out her climbing legs, because typically they learn to climb better before they learn to walk better. And she climbed on the climbing structure, climbed on her mother. She took a little spill, but it was really nothing for a baby panda.
Yeah, she bounced back pretty easily. You can watch Junjun from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. in real time, but if you want to, there literally is a panda cam. There's Panda Watch at the San Diego Zoo website, and you can watch her kind of hang out and bounce about.
Have you watched that video, Allie?
Oh, yeah.
So how many awes do you give it in the awe?
Oh, come on. On a 1 to 5, if the W's are all the 5, 5 W's.
Oh, wow, it's a 5 W awe meter. All right.
Okay, yeah. MJ, fast. What you got?
Number 1 on Google Trends.
Is your microphone on?
I don't think my mic is on.
Oh.
Well, it's not gonna be
okay, go to Dan. Go to Dan.
The number one thing on Google Trends right now is the North American aerospace Space Defense Command, which is what tracks Santa Claus on Google Earth. Typically, it's tracking missiles to prevent attack, but now they're tracking Santa, and I can tell you that the last check that was, he was in Alice Springs, Australia.
Okay, countdown.
It's a man with a plan.
Okay, I've got the one of the most emailed stories on NPR.org, and this was hilarious. This was an interview that Leanne Hansen did yesterday morning on NPR with Wired senior editor Adam Rogers, and he has this whole theory about uncovering all of Santa's secrets, and it has to do with technology. And he apparently said that the whole reason that Santa is on the North Pole, it's not because... It used to be because of isolation. He needed somewhere super secret where no one would find out what he was doing. And now it's because he has all these massive computer farms and server farms. And you need somewhere cool to keep those, clearly. And so the North Pole is good for that. And there's also what he describes as this naughty, nice algorithm that Santa uses nowadays.
Really?
Yes, it's hilarious. It's not arbitrary. I mean, it's not like he decides this kid's been good, this kid has been nice. There's apparently some very complex way to figure that out. So check it out. If you haven't already, it's on NPR.org.
And that's the most. You can find these stories and other awesome BPP finds at our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.